Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
This is draft season. Today's episode is brought to you by Visa. Visa looks at over 500 data points on transactions to help prevent fraud, so you can worry less and focus on this podcast. Shop with Visa because security looks good on you. John Schmoke, Tony Pauline, we are less than a week away from the start of the NFL Combine. This is going to be our mock draft. Next week, we'll do our Combine preview right before workouts start. Coming your way next Wednesday. The first workouts are on Thursday, late afternoon. So stay tuned for that. But today, we're going to give you our mock draft. We try to give you one of these once a month, just to give you the details and exactly how we're handling this. This will be what we would do, as we've talked about before. Until you get through free agency, really parsing what teams are going to do is kind of pointless. So again, this is more about the players, less about team needs, because those are going to change as we move forward here. But obviously, you know, obvious team needs will be taken in consideration when we make these picks. In our previous draft, I did the even number selections. Tony did the odd. So we're going to swap this week, and I will take the odd numbers and Tony will go even. Tony, how are you, sir?
Okay, I mean, all quiet on the Western Front, eerily all quiet, you know, not a lot of NFL news. Obviously, they're going to the franchise tag period starts. I'm not hearing a lot in the scouting community, which usually means, you know, all of a sudden it'll all hit the fan at one time and we'll all be overwhelmed.
Yeah, and basically, Tony, this is, you know, within NFL organizations and meeting rooms right now. I know last week all the Giant scouts were in the building doing their February meetings. This is when, you know, the college scouting department is getting everyone else up to speed on all the work they've been doing, and they're getting their GM and everybody ready for the combine, and they're really putting their first preliminary boards together. So this is an important time within NFL rooms and organizations, even if maybe to the public, there's not a whole lot going on.
Right. And then what'll happen is they'll move to the combines, and we'll have a combine show, you know, next week talking about that. And, you know, that'll be interesting as well.
Yeah, it will be. So a lot of important things going on in buildings, and we're going to do something a little bit more frivolous but fun with our second mock draft of the year. Again, we'll try to do one of these once a month for you guys leading into the draft. So first overall here, Tony, I'm not going to try to reinvent the wheel. There's no reporting to indicate otherwise. Caleb Williams is my number one quarterback. I can't imagine that's going to change between now and draft day. I think the Bears, you know, if you watch the Super Bowl, the elite quarterback makes all the difference. I think Caleb Williams can be that elite quarterback. So I'm going to give Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears at first overall.
I mean, it makes complete sense. Justin Fields has been okay. There's a movement to keep him there. But, you know, if you keep Justin Fields and you pass on to Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams goes on to be the, if not star quarterback, the really good NFL starting quarterback we all believe him to be, you'll never live that down.
And then, Tony, by the way, just real quick, the key now to the rest of this draft now is who trades for Justin Fields, right? Because that would then take a quarterback off the table for that team. So we'll see exactly who eventually makes that move around for agency. Go ahead with pick number two.
To me, it's easy. It's going to be Jaden Daniels for a number of reasons. Jaden Daniels is the quarterback from LSU. I mean, number one, Cliff Kingsbury, now the offensive coordinator in Washington. Jaden Daniels fits that system. And I got to tell you, I did my SEC film, all the teams last week, and Jaden Daniels just blew me away when I really delved into the film. I mean, everything, the arm strength, the ability to make all the throws, what's going on between his ears, the way he read defenses, the way he protected the football, the way he ran with the football but didn't run recklessly. I mean, he's a smaller guy, and I think that's really the only red flag. I think you can say right now he's a higher-rated quarterback than Drake May, although you could probably make the argument that two or three years, Drake May could be the better quarterback because of the upside. But I think Jaden Daniels to Washington with that second pick just checks so many boxes.
Yeah, I'm going to go Drake May at number three to the Patriots. I know there's some, you know, brewing news or brewing rumors that they might want to go for a veteran quarterback here. But if you're in the top three and there's a potential franchise quarterback, Tony, and you're resetting your whole franchise like they've done with the coach and GM change, I don't know how you pass on a quarterback. I think it would be a malpractice, you know, to do that. I think it'd be a huge mistake. So I'm going to give him Drake May. Let's have the Daniels May conversation here, Tony, because I think it's interesting. These guys are very close on my board. I don't have much separating them. Here's the things that I think differentiates them for me. I think for May, the one thing people underrate with him is his mobility. He ran for a ton of first downs this year. He's actually a really good athlete. He's not, you know, Jaden Daniels gets rightfully a lot of publicity for his running, and I understand why. He's a big play guy. His speed is phenomenal. I think Jaden Daniels is a more accurate downfield thrower. You said you just watch your SEC tape. The number of slot fades he throws to Malik Nabers in that offense, my God, just really pinpoint accuracy down the field. The reason I think edge to Drake May a little bit is I think I see him make tight window, middle of the field NFL throws all the time on his tape. And he has to because his guys aren't getting as open as Jaden Daniels' receivers are downfield. Now, that's not a hit on Daniels. It's great. You have open guys throwing the football. But I've seen Drake May do things on tape that I think you have to do at the NFL level in order to be a really good quarterback, and that's hitting, again, those small window, middle-of-the-field throws. Am I concerned about some of the inconsistent accuracy towards the end of the year? Yes. Does he try to do too much sometimes and force into small areas and throw interceptions? Yes. Jaden Daniels does not do that, to his credit. But I think that middle-of-the-field ability and overall arm talent is why I still give Drake May a little bit of an advantage there. But if someone likes Jaden Daniels more, I think that's fine, and I think he's going to be a heck of a quarterback.
I think it's a good, it's a fair criticism of Drake May at the end of the 2023 season. And if you watch it, he was really getting beaten up. I mean, in November, he was just getting hammered, and it seemed to me he tried to do too many things. But the thing with Jaden Daniels was, he just performed week after week. And this goes back to the end of the 2022 season. And he's been on such an upswing, and he gave me so much more than I expected. The ability to make all the passes, the downfield accuracy. And again, just the ability to make plays with his head. He sees what's going on. He knows what's happening on the field. He stays away from the bad pass. He protects the football. And I agree with you. Drake May is not an immobile quarterback at all. He basically sat in the pocket and tried to throw first, run second. Whereas with Jaden Daniels, he's probably a little bit more mobile, but he's not reckless. I mean, he doesn't go head first. He's smart with the football. And Daniels, when I watched him on film, just gave me so much more than I expected.
Yeah, the one thing about Daniels, he got better second half of the year, Tony. But boy, he took some big hits as a runner earlier in the year. He just got lit up. But he did a little bit better, I think, protecting himself as the season went along.
Four, I think, is a no-brainer. Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, they're going to need a receiver. You got to have more weapons there for Kyler Murray. Marvin Harrison Jr. of Ohio State is my top-rated player in this year's draft. So with the fourth pick, they are getting the best player in the draft, a guy who, you know, is not a true downfield threat, but he's sneaky fast. He's got excellent size. He knows how to separate. He's got the bloodlines. He catches everything that's thrown to him. Again, like Jaden Daniels with Washington at pick two, this just checks so many boxes. And the Cardinals come away with another, I think, really good player from the Ohio State Buckeyes, as they did a year ago in Paris Johnson.
Yeah, no notes. Agree. I think this is an easy run to the podium type of pick. And it complements some of their smaller, faster guys, too, with Harrison's size on the perimeter. Chargers at five are interesting, Tony. Daniel Jeremiah, who obviously covers the Chargers, and he has a real good relationship from his Ravens days with the new general manager that came over right from Baltimore. So he was asked a question, what he thinks the Chargers to do with the fifth pick, and he put up a little Simpsons gif that said someone hammering in a for sale sign onto their front lawn. So to me, I wonder how much of that is, you know, they have a lot of salary cap issues. How much is that generally for sale and trying to sell off some of those big contracts, and how much of that is trying to sell that pick? But if these first four picks go the way we projected here, Tony, I don't know how much interest is going to be to move up to five, because Harrison's not there. The three quarterbacks are gone. Right. You know, you still have Nabers and Odunze there. You still have Fashanu and Alt there if you want to tackle. I'm just not sure you're going to have interest here to trade up if you're the Chargers.
I would agree. I mean, the only way that there's going to be a market for that pick is if somehow one of the quarterbacks fall and the team wants to get ahead of the Giants to ensure that they get a quarterback. But I mean, you know, there's plenty of good players. I mean, is the team going to trade up for Brock Bowers? Maybe. I mean, that would really be the only player. You're going to trade up for Malik Nehmer. You still have Roma Dunze there. You're going to have a whole host of offensive tackles there. So you're right. Then again, they may sell it for on the cheap. You know, they may just move down and take a little bit less. I don't agree with that sort of strategy, but you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So in this case, the Chargers have a lot of needs, Tony. So I'm just going to go with the guy that I think is the best player left, and that's Malik Nehmer. I think he's a dynamic receiver. You know, if you watch Jaden Daniels, that means you watched a lot of Malik Nehmer too over the weekend, Tony. And boy, he runs away from people. He's fast. He's explosive. He has some concentration drops, but otherwise I think he has pretty good hands. You know, has a little work to do in terms of being a precise route runner, but the physical gifts are so off the charts, unbelievable. This guy is going to be a playmaker in the NFL for a long time. I'm going to give Malik Nehmer to the Chargers.
And he runs good routes. It's not he's a poor route runner. And he's fundamentally sound catching the ball. It's not just that he makes the catches. He catches the ball with his hands away from his frame and makes the catch in stride, tracks the pass in the air, and he's always getting open. I mean, he wins out with a contested throw, but he's always finding ways to get open through route separation, through finding the open spot in the defense, or even beating defenders down the flanks. Now, he just threw a curveball to the New York Giants because Malik, with no quarterback there, Malik Nehmer was definitely going to be my guy with that pick. So I got to regroup. I got to look here. You know, I mean, Brock Bowers would be an interesting pick, but he's the highest rated player on my board. You know, Fasciano, but the Giants have an outstanding left tackle. Joe Alt, but what are they going to do at right tackle? Since you took Malik Nehmer and you broke my heart, I'm going to have to go off the board, and I'm going to go with Roma Dunze, because if there's a quarterback there, I think the Giants run up to the table with the card with the quarterback's name on it. I think the Giants would even look into moving up a few slots to get one of the quarterbacks. After that, I think it's Malik Nehmer if he's there. Otherwise, Roma Dunze. I mean, they need that dominant number one receiver. Dunze has all those traits to be a dominant number one receiver. We've talked about him before. He's a bigger guy who knows how to separate. You know, when Jalen McMillan was out of the lineup at Washington this year, he took over and he took over games. I mean, that reverse on third down for 23 yards against Oregon, whatever it was, or it may have been Washington State, I'm sorry, you know, to basically keep that season going. Dunze, it's a little bit early on my board, but looking at the Giants' needs, I would take Dunze over Brock Bowers as far as needs are concerned.
All right, let's go to the Tennessee Titans here. I think that's a good pick, by the way, Tony. I think Dunze, and he fits in well with their wide receivers. Hyatt is a speed guy. Robinson is a slot guy. He's kind of that traditional outside X that can win in a bunch of different ways. So I think that's a good pick there. Titans at 7. They're sitting there, you know, wide receiver, offensive tackle. The top two wide receivers are gone, so I think offensive tackle is the way to go here. And then the question is it Joe Alt or Olu Fashanu? My guess is that, Tony, Fashanu seems to be sliding a little bit now in terms of perception. My guess is that he's going to be sliding right back up again by the time we get to draft day. So I'm not concerned about any of that sort of stuff. So I'm going to go Olu Fashanu here just because I feel like the Titans, they're kind of at the beginning of a rebuild. They have a young quarterback in Will Levis. And I think if you can get a guy that can move like Fashanu to be your long-term left tackle, I think you do it. So I'm going to go Olu Fashanu to the Tennessee Titans at 7.
It makes great sense. And someone's got to explain to me why Fasciano is quote unquote falling. I mean, you know, we go through the season and this guy's going to be a top five pick. This guy's going to be first tackle off the board. And now people are talking about Joe Walt being the first pick of the draft, you know, Fasciano being the third tackle. And there hasn't been any football played since January. So, you know, I don't know where it's coming from. I think it's a great pick. I think the guy's got great upside. He's got to improve his run blocking. He's got to get a little bit stronger. You look at the athleticism, you look at the footwork, you look at the fundamentals, the way he plays with knee bend, the way he uses his hands, a little bit of a younger guy. That's just will happen as he physically matures and gets older. I am up now with the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons would love a quarterback. No quarterbacks there. Would love a wide receiver. The top wide receivers are off.
Well, Tony, there are quarterbacks there, but just not one you think is worth picking at 8.
Yeah, no quarterback I believe is worth taking in the first round at this point in time. You know, you look at the receiver board, this is way too early for Brian Thomas. They do need an edge rusher. I'm going to go with Dallas Turner. I think he's a good system fit. I think he's an outstanding athlete. I think he's more than just an edge rusher. You can play him off the line of scrimmage. You watch him play. He plays with great balance, fundamentally sound. He's explosive. He's strong. He does get out position from the, by offensive tackles. It's a matter of size. The bigger guy, the bigger tackle, the bulkier guy is able to outposition him. But he's not off his feet. He shows some power in his game. He's got a great amount of upside. And this is a player that I like for 3 years. I think he's underrated. I think he's more than just a guy that can come off the edge. You can drop him off the line and use him in space on zone blitzes. So I think Atlanta fills a need here at edge rusher with a real good player.
All right, now the Bears are in a tough spot here, Tony, because I think they would have loved for Neighbors or Adunze to drop to them here. That would have been my first selection. I would have loved that. I feel like at offensive tackle, they're actually okay, right? They drafted Darnell Wright last year. Their left tackle, who was just a fifth-round pick, he's actually developed pretty well. He's done a nice job over there, so I don't think you have to pick Joe Alt here. I think it's a little rich for Thomas, the wide receiver from LSU. So I'm just going, and I know they need help on defense, but guys, if you're drafting Caleb Williams, your first overall pick, you need to put what you can around him to make him the best player possible. And I know Cole Kmet's there, but Cole Kmet ain't stopping me from drafting Brock Bowers. So I'm going to go Brock Bowers here for the Bears at 9. Lean into 12 personnel. That's okay. Put both tight ends on the field. And you put them with DJ Moore and you find a receiver in free agency. That's a nice little offense you got cooking there, Tony. So I'm going to go Brock Bowers to the Chicago Bears at 9 to pair him with Caleb Williams.
If you are sold that your offensive tackles that you have on the roster on the depth chart already are going to be able to protect Caleb Williams, I think that is the best way to go because you're getting a highly rated player. And right now, Brock values where you just selected him at 9 is great value. And more than anything else,
Tony's throwing a party here. Tony's throwing a party at 10.
And the Jet fans are doing backflips because, you know, I know there's been a lot of talk in the media about the Jets liking Fuaga, the offensive tackle from Oregon State. That may be true. But with Joe Alt there, I mean, you know, the Jets need 3 or 4 offensive linemen going into the offseason. More than anything else, they need 2 offensive tackles. They need a left tackle and they need a right tackle. Joe Alt can play both positions. Granted, he can't do it at the same time. Joe Alt can play left tackle. I know Joe Alt can play right tackle. The Jets need a day one starter. I think Joe Alt's going to be a day one starter. I think the Jets, this is not a DeBrickashaw Ferguson type pick, but it's not far from it. And they get a starting left tackle to finally protect the quarterback. Looks like it's going to be Aaron Rodgers and keep him upright. So the Jet fans are very happy the fact that Bowers went 9 and they got Alt to 10.
All right, now the Vikings go at number 11 again. I think that's a great pick for the Jets. And, you know, let's just recap here, Tony, real quick. Top 10 picks, and I think, I'm not going to say it's certain, but I think to be this sure, this early in the draft process of what 9 of the first 10 picks are going to be in terms of guys and that 9 of the first 10 are offense, it's fairly jarring. But I'd be surprised if this looks any different when we get to draft night in over 2 months.
We said that all along, and I made the comparison the past 2 years at the top of the draft, the first 10 picks, it's been defense, 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 primarily. Not a lot of skill players, you know, there's not too many QBs. Now it's going to be all offense. And, you know, again, if there is a defensive player selected in the top 10, I think that the only chance of that happening is with Dallas Turner. I see no other defensive player, none of the cornerbacks, none of the defensive tackles breaking into the top 10. So, you know, if it doesn't fall the way we just predicted it, something strange happens, it's going to come darn close.
All right, let's go to pick number 11 with the Vikings. And, Tony, they need defense. What Brian Flores did, you know, putting Band-Aids on that defense last year with that, frankly, a lot of very good players. They still have Danielle Hunter. We'll see how long he's going to be there. He's obviously an older player. And for a blind Flores defense that likes to play a lot of man-to-man, Tony, though they did play a lot of zone behind their blitzes last year, they need cornerbacks. You go back to Brian Flores in Miami, they prioritize corner all the time in terms of drafting guys. You know, they brought in Byron Jones as a free agent. They drafted Xavien Howard. So I think they're going to pick the top corner on the board here. And I do think it's interesting as you figure out who that top corner is going to be. My guess is that he's going to want the best island coverage corner that you can trust to guard man-on-man. And I think that's Nate Wiggins, the cornerback out of Clemson. He's long, he's flexible, he can cover one-on-one. I know he's not the most physical guy tackling. I thought about Terry and Arnold here. I know you're a McKinstry guy, but I was thinking either Arnold, I was thinking Wiggins. I decided to go with the best pure cover guy in Wiggins, though. I think right now, Tony, and we'll talk about this in the combine preview next week, what happens and how these guys run in Indy is going to be a, go a long way towards determining what the first, who the first corner is going to be that goes off the board.
Especially with Wiggins, because if you watch Wiggins on film, and there's a little bit of chasing downfield, whether that's speed, whether he's just not quick enough out of his transition. I agree with you with not taking Arnold, because I like actually Arnold more as a nickel back over the slot receiver as an outside guy. I do think that the Vikings would definitely consider a defensive lineman here, like a Byron Murphy. Now, who is up? I am up right now with the
Broncos.
Denver Broncos. Okay. Broncos desperately need a quarterback. Sean Payton wants a quarterback. They could look defensive tackle, tight ends off the board, cornerback. Since the Vikings passed on Byron Murphy, I'm going to take Byron Murphy here, defensive tackle. He's a big athletic guy. I think he's a good fit for that system. He's someone who is very good right now. 2 or 3 years down the road, he's going to be exceptional, and I expect Byron Murphy to be there for a while. Sean Payton to be there for a while, so I think he's got time there. You know, they run sort of a 3-4. Murphy's got the size and the athleticism to be a defensive end in a three-man line or be a defensive tackle in a four-man front. I think this is – it fits a need with a real good player, with someone who 2 or 3 years down the road, I believe, can be exceptional.
Did you think about quarterback here for the Broncos?
None of the quarterbacks on the board. I mean, could they reach for a quarterback? Possibly, but, you know, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, I don't see them as top 25 selections. I mean, maybe McCarthy goes late first round, and you're going to see these guys mocked, but nothing that these guys, especially Penix and Bo Nix, nothing that they showed us at the Senior Bowl proves to me that they're worth the first round selection.
Visa uses advanced AI to help stop fraud, so Bree can be all slurp, no worries. Yum.
Here we go, Tony. The Raiders at 13. They are desperate. They are desperate for a quarterback. I'm doing it. They have Aiden O'Connell sitting there. I'd be surprised if Jimmy Garoppolo is there once the season gets started. And look, I think the Raiders are just in desperate need for a quarterback here. Could Antonio Pierce convince ownership not to do that? Sure. And obviously they have their new general manager there too, who's you know, going to be making that decision with Tom Telesco coming over. But look, I think Telesco understands the need to have a real good quarterback in there. On my board, are we even in the neighborhood of these three quarterbacks? No, we're 10, 15 picks, 20 picks off. I get that. And again, I wouldn't do this if I was the GM of the Raiders. But for me, I don't know. Should I pull the trigger here, Tony? It's so early at 13. It's really early. Is there a guy that stands out that's not a – if there was another star player that I saw here that I'm sitting there and I'm like, this guy should have been a top 10 pick and it's a sore thumb – I mean, they could use pass rushers on defense to go with Max Crosby. I mean, I like the Crosby, Latu combination or Jared Verse. That would be nice. You know what? I'm going to go with my gut. And this is a gut pick right now, and that's fine, and I'm willing to be wrong. I think out of all the quarterbacks that are there, Tony, I feel like they're a more risk-tolerant organization here. So I'm going to give a Michael Penix at 13 overall to the Las Vegas Raiders. I know. Trust me. The grade's not there. I'm with you. But this is a gut pick, and I'm going gut pick to Michael Penix.
All I can say is this. I mean, that would be very much a Raiders, an Al Davis type of pick. I'll say three things. That's very much a Al Davis Raiders type of pick. Second thing is to get ready for this mock draft. I put my first 50 players. I keep looking at the screen. My first 50 players on the board. Michael Penix didn't make that top 50.
Ooh, okay.
And you said something earlier, and I'm not going to follow through on this. But you said, you know, where could Justin Fields end up? Just remember that with the Raiders pick moving forward.
I think that would be, I think for them, for the Steelers, for the Falcons, for the Vikings, go down the list. Any of those guys, I think, would love to have Justin Fields. Well, I don't think the Bears would trade him in division to Minnesota.
The Las Vegas Raiders, we'll leave it at that. Now the New Orleans.
There we go.
The New Orleans Saints are on the board, and the New Orleans Saints are seemingly eternally looking for pass rushers, looking for guys up front. They draft after draft. They go, it's either that or it's offensive linemen. I'm going to give him Jared Verse. Mm-hmm. And when I did my ACC film work, when I did my Florida State film work, I was very impressed with Jared Verse. I thought he's a much better – I thought he's a good player in 2022. I thought he's a much more complete player in 2023. The ability to force the action up the field. And he's a strong guy. I mean, he's strong for his size. It's not like he's getting knocked around by bigger offensive tackles. He's pushing him up the field, collapsing the pocket, but he's also smart. He reads the plays. He doesn't just pin his ears back and rush up the field. You know, he stays within his assignments. He'll set the edge. He can play up the line of scrimmage. He'll find the ball handler, change direction and get down the line of scrimmage and pursue the play. So I think they're getting sort of like Dallas Turner. New Orleans is getting a real good player here who fills a need, you know, who's got a lot of upside to do a lot of different things besides just sack the passer.
All right, Colts at 15, Tony. I'm looking at perimeter players here, right? I'm looking at wide receiver or corner. I think those are two big needs for this team. I think, you know, Alec Pierce is more of a fourth wide receiver than a second wide receiver. Michael Pittman Jr. is a really good possession receiver, middle of the field. Josh Downs, I think, is a really good slot. But they need that big potential X perimeter wide receiver to be a big play speed guy down the field. And is that not Brian Thomas from LSU? I mean, it fits what they need at the receiver position to a T. You have a big arm quarterback and Anthony Richardson you're trying to develop here. Give him a top wide receiver that can do special things on the outside. And with Downs and Pittman there, Tony, it gives him the time to develop. He doesn't need to be the superstar number one right away because they have Pittman there. They have Downs there. So I think it's a really good position for Thomas to get drafted, take advantage of what he can do now in the short term, but also develop long term with the Colts.
And the fact is, this is, you know, Downs is your downfield receiver. Pittman's more of your intermediate receiver. And Thomas is more of your intermediate receiver. And the thing about Thomas is it'll be interesting to see, you know, his timing, his testing at the combine, assuming he tested the combine, the 40-yard, the 10-yard split. He's just a smooth, fluid guy. He knows how to get open. He makes the contested catch. He gets vertical. He high points the ball over receivers. I was very impressed. Not as impressed as I was with Neighbors, but I was very impressed with his game when I watched him. I think that the Seattle Seahawks are very happy. Seattle Seahawks need players on the defensive line, the defensive tackle, or edge rushers. I'm going to go with my guy, Chop Robinson, here. I've been riding the Chop Robinson bus since the summertime. He's a terrific player. You can use him out of a three-point stance. You can use him standing over tackle. They like those sort of undersized, explosive, athletic pass rushers that can fill a variety of roles. Chop Robinson is that guy for me. Kind of fell off at the end of the year, had that bad concussion against Ohio State. But you watch him, he's more than just a wide-angle edge rusher. He's got an inside move. He uses his hands well. He's tough. You can play him off the line of scrimmage. He gets out into space in pursuit. I feel that people are either I'm overvaluing Chop Robinson, which could be, or people are undervaluing. But still, I think 2 or 3 years down the road, he's going to be a real good player. And this fits a need for Seattle.
No, I'm with you. I think that's a really good pick there. Good value. Though there is an edge rusher that's still on the board that a team might be salivating about coming up here. Jaguars at 17, Tony. Look, Trevor Lawrence, they need to get him rights a little strong, but they need to maximize what he can do. And their pass protection last year, quite frankly, stunk. A wide receiver could be an option here too, but I don't think there's one available that I'd want to pick this early. So I'm going to go Tyler Guyton. We know the Jaguars like to draft athletes that have a lot of upside. We saw them do that with Trevon Walker, right? So I'm going to go with Tyler Guyton, your offensive tackle, going to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean, it makes sense. Everybody talks about the Jaguars. They need a pass rusher. They need a defensive tackle. And you look at the Jaguars' history, how much draft capital, how much early draft capital in the first round they have expended at those positions, and the offensive line is kind of fallen by the wayside. You got Cam Robinson there. You don't know what you're getting with him. They did select Anton Harrison last year, although I think he's better at left tackle. Maybe Tyler Guyton allows you to move Harrison back to left tackle, and you put him at right tackle. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the board. Have to wait and see what happens with T. Higgins. Regardless, you talk about protecting quarterbacks. That's what they got to do with Joe Burrow. There's been a mishmash on the offensive line there. Going to go with Talese Fuega. I think he makes the most sense here. He's a big, strong guy. He's relatively athletic. He can block on the move. You know, we saw him at the Senior Bowl, except for a couple of reps against Adisa Isaac. He was solid all week. I think this is a good fit for him. People are talking about him to the Jets at 10. That's way too early as far as my board's concerned. I think it's a good fit. It fits a need. I think the Bengals get a real good player.
You know, now the Rams at 19 here, Tony, and I think that's a good pick. I think you got to protect Joe Burrow. The Rams need help on defense. I think they would love to pick the successor to Matthew Stafford at some point. I just think right now is not the time. You're trying to maximize what you have left with Stafford. They have a couple of young guys like Byron Young on the defensive line that played well last year. And the name of the guy that went to the Shrine game that was really good this year is escaping my mind here.
But Forrest.
Yep, correct. He was a good player for them this year. I think they could really use a corner. So I'm looking at perhaps Terry and Arnold here. I'm thinking of Latu Latu here. Those are the two guys I'm kind of going back and forth on. I think Latu is the higher graded player. So I'm going to go with Latu Latu to the Rams here at number 19 to give a little more pass rush.
Kobe Turner was the guy you were thinking about from Wake Forest.
Thank you.
And again, I mean, Latu and Byron Young, those guys hit on all cylinders with Aaron Donald in the middle. I know Sean McVay likes his offense, but to heck with it, they'll win with defense. I mean, no quarterback will be able to get a ball away. The Steelers are on the clock. I'm looking at my board here. I really want to pick a Marius Mims because they need another offensive tackle. You know, they go back-to-back years with Georgia tackles, Roderick Jones last year. But Kool-Aid McKinstry is still on the board, and they need a cornerback. They hit a home run with Joey Porter when he somehow fell into the second round last year. I think with McKinstry, I don't know why people don't like McKinstry. As I said, I did my SEC film work, and I tried to find holes in this guy's game. Maybe he's a little late off the line in his transition, but he was a guy who was left in man-on-man coverage, and he answered the call every time. He's tough. He's explosive. You can put him on the outside, and I think he really is a Pittsburgh Steelers type of cornerback. Again, I was looking at Marius Mims, but they also have a need of cornerback, and McKinstry's much higher rate on my board, so I'm going to take Kool-Aid McKinstry, Alabama, for the Pittsburgh Steelers at this pick.
All right, 21, I think this is easy for the Dolphins. Tua's not the biggest quarterback. You got to keep guys out of his face on the interior rush. Their center, Connor Williams, is a free agent. Well, enter Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. You plug him in. They like to run the football, too, with their speed guys. So I think this is an easy one, Tony. Jackson Powers Johnson to the Dolphins at 21.
And I think that, you know, we went into the Senior Bowl wondering if Jackson Powers Johnson was going to establish himself as a first-round pick. He absolutely did that while he was injured, you know, just playing well and just dominating everybody, not just at the point of attack, but he's also very good on the move. The Philadelphia Eagles are on the board. Philadelphia can go in a variety of ways, maybe an edge rusher. I'm sure if Tyler Guyton was there, they would take him. They still need a cornerback. Looking at my board here, Quinton Mitchell of Toledo is going to be the pick. I mean, he makes the most sense. I think Amarius Mims will get some consideration here. He, you know, as we know, Harry Roseman likes his Georgia players. But Quinton Mitchell of Toledo, you talk about guys that really stood out the Senior Bowl. After having successful college careers, because Mitchell was a good cornerback at Toledo, he's big, he's physical, he shows terrific cover skills. You know, as you talked about, these guys play backed off the line of scrimmage and they give a huge cushion in college. All of a sudden, at the Senior Bowl, they're asked to play in man coverage and press coverage. Mitchell answered every question. I think he goes this early to the Eagles with this selection.
Agreed. I think it's a good pick. And you left the corner I wanted to give to the Texans on the board. So well done, Tony. Texans need a corner too. Terry and Arnold out of Alabama. I think he just fits that type of physical corner that can play inside, that can play outside. He tackles well. That D'Amico Ryans would love to slide into that defense. I'm going to go Terry and Arnold to the Texans at 23.
The Dallas Cowboys are up now. I mean, I see a lot of people talking about Jordan Morgan going to the Dallas Cowboys. And I know for a fact, the Cowboys do like Jordan Morgan. And while I like Jordan Morgan, I mean, what we saw at the Senior Bowl keeps popping into my mind, how he was getting beaten by speed rushers, power rushers. Just don't know he's a tackle. Looking at Marius Mims there, and I think Marius Mims would give them – they don't need a right tackle per se, but I just think that Marius Mims gives the Cowboys a lot of flexibility on that offensive line. I agree with your concerns last week when we talked about Marius Mims in the sense that he's only started 8 games the past 2 years, but when he is on the field, he is really good. He is strong. He is fundamentally sound. He moves well for a strong side blocker. He's got good footwork. He shows the ability to get on the second level. So Mims is a guy where there may be some bumps early in his NFL career, but down the road, I mean, he has all the makings to be a big-time starter.
Real quick, Tony, before you make Mims official, would you consider your guy Troy Fontenu here, Fatanu from Washington, who could play inside, outside? I know you love him.
No, because the short arms concern me. And I know they could move Tyler Smith back out. And,
that's why,
you know,
I asked. Yep.
You know, that could be a situation. But I just think that Mims is the higher-rated guy. I know they probably want more left side offensive linemen, the right side offensive linemen. But I just think Mims is so much higher rated than any of the other. I would probably, I mean, if they want to go that route, I would probably take the Kingsley Suamatata from BYU before I took Fanata, because I think he is more of a pure left tackle than Fatanu.
Okay, let's go to the Packers at 25, Tony. We've seen the David Bakhtiari injury issues he's had. How long can you depend on him? So I'm going to go Jordan Morgan here, the guy you mentioned at 24. I'll go with the Packers, him at 25. I thought of Suamatai here as well, but I'm going to go Jordan Morgan instead. I think, you know, he's a guy that gives you some offensive line versatility, which I think the Packers like. They run a lot of that outside zone stuff with their scheme, and he's a good guy on the move. So I'm going to go Jordan Morgan to the Packers here at 25.
I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, they need protection. They need offensive tackles. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're always looking for pass rushers. Look at my board here. Let's just look at my board here real quick with Tampa. Looking for some edge rushers, looking for some receivers. When I look at my board, it's still a little bit early for Braylon Trice. Troy Franklin, it's still a little bit early. I mean, Tampa, what else could they use here? Looking at my board, a cornerback. I'm going to give the Buccaneers Kamari Lassiter here.
Ooh.
It's a little bit early, but I think it fits a good need. I got Lassiter rated just above Braylon Trice. Lassiter's a strong corner. He physically beats down opponents. He shows good speed. Again, this is more of a need pick than, the highest rated player on my board, because I would rather go with an edge rusher, but all the edge rushers are gone. I'm going to stick with Lassiter.
If you had not picked Marvin Harrison Jr. for the Cardinals earlier in this draft, Tony, they're up at 27 here. I would have picked a receiver, but I'm not going to go receiver now because you've already picked one with him. So I think they can eventually move Paris Johnson back over to left tackle. And then I think you just slide in J.C. Latham at right tackle. So I'm going to go J.C. Latham here to be the fellow twin tackles in front of Kyler Murray for the Cardinals at 27.
Makes a lot of sense. Buffalo Bills are up. I think the Buffalo Bills would love to have Ryan Thomas, but he is off the board right now. Buffalo Bills also need safety. They need a defensive tackle. I mean, I know a lot of people, there's a lot of variety of opinion on these guys. I'm going to take Zerhan Newton for the Buffalo Bills. I mean, they need some more help on the inside that'll fortify that defensive line. An offensive lineman would be a consideration here. A receiver, is this too early for Troy Franklin or A.D. Mitchell? Possibly, but it's just that Zerhan Newton fills a need, and he's far and away my highest rated player. I think this is great value.
I do not think it's too early for Adonai Mitchell, because I'm selecting him right here for the Lions at 29. They have a speed guy in Jameson Williams. They have a good short and intermediate possession type, and I know he's more than that, in his name is now St. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown, thank you. And then they need an X receiver, though, someone that can do a little bit of everything. I think Mitchell at 6'3", with his movement skills, he fits that perfectly. To continue to try to develop that offense. So I'm going to go A.D. Mitchell here for the Lions at 29.
Baltimore is up, and Baltimore is one of those teams that seem to have an eternal need at one position. You know, you thought that they hit it last year with Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers now has some off-the-field issues that are going to have to be figured out. I think that Troy Franklin of Oregon has got to be given serious consideration here. I'm going to go with Darius Robinson of Missouri. And here's why I'm going with Darius Robinson of Missouri. Number one, it's a system fit, the way they played in 3-4. Number two, the talk, and when we spoke about this, about Darius Robinson getting, you know, first-round consideration. And the thing is this with Robinson is he's a good player now. He has the potential, though there's no guarantee, to be an exceptional player down the line. 6'5", 280 pounds. I'm told that he looks like Mr. Universe when he weighs in. Just an incredible NFL body. So you're looking at a guy who 2 or 3 years down the road could be an exceptional player. And we're at the bottom half of round one. And that's where all kinds of wacky things happen. So I'm going to give the Ravens Darius Robinson.
Nah, good player. All right, and then you mentioned his name already, Tony. The San Francisco 49ers, look, the right side of their offensive line was a problem. Cole McKivitz at right tackle is not a long-term solution there. They need a player at that spot. So I'm going to give them Kingsley Suamataya. I think he's a really good player. You slid him in on the right side there to play right tackle for the 49ers. I think it fits. I'm sure that's who you want to pick for the Chiefs, though you do have a receiver on the board for them here. And I think there is a guy that has some Tyreek Hill in him that has some speed. But I'm going to go Suamataya here for the 49ers at number 31.
You know, it's funny because I did my BYU film work earlier this week, and he just blew me away.
He's
I mean,
great.
I got so much more from Suamataya than I expected. That's why it wouldn't surprise me if he goes much earlier. He's athletic. He's fundamentally sound. At times, he's a little bit late with his hands, but that's okay. You know, that can be corrected. Got to get a little bit stronger as a run blocker, but he moves well. The pass protection, I thought he was flawless going from the right side to the left side. You know, Kansas City's up, and you're right. I would have jumped all over Kingsley if he was available to him. I think that Troy Franklin makes a lot of sense here. But I got to, after watching that Super Bowl game, after watching their offensive tackles, after knowing that their left tackle is going to be a free agent, and the guy who's sitting behind them, you know, the kid that they drafted from Oklahoma is more of a right side player, I'm going to take Troy Fatanu. I'm going to take Troy Fatanu because, you know, if you want the quarterback to be as explosive and to be as great as he's going to be, you better be able to protect him. You can't get him knocked around. Can't make plays, Patrick Mahomes, when he's laying on his back. You know, they can get a speed receiver later on. Maybe not the type of receiver that Troy Franklin is, but it's about protecting Patrick Mahomes. And I think that, you know, whether it's a future replacement for Joe Thuney, whether it's a left tackle, I think Patanu does that best. And that's what it's all about because, you know, if you watch them through the year, those offensive tackles, and they gave Taylor a huge contract. The left tackle is going to be a free agent. You got to get an upgrade there. That's why I go with Fatanu.
All right, Tony. So let's look at this first round now here. I'll relist it for the fans just so they have it. Bears, Caleb Williams. Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels. New England Patriots, Drake May. Arizona Cardinals, Marvin Harrison Jr. Los Angeles Chargers, Malik Nabers. New York Giants, Roma Dunzier. Tennessee Titans, Olu Fashanu. 8, Atlanta Falcons select Dallas Turner. The Bears select Brock Bowers. Jets get Joe Alt. Vikings get Nate Wiggins. Denver Broncos get Byron Murphy. The Raiders get Michael Penix. The Saints get Jared Verse. The Colts select Brian Thomas. Seattle selects Chop Robinson. The Jacksonville Jaguars take Tyler Guyton. The Cincinnati Bengals select Talese Fuanga. The Los Angeles Rams select Leatu Latu. Pittsburgh Steelers take Kool-Aid McKinstry. Miami Dolphins take Jackson Powers-Johnson. Philadelphia Eagles take Quinion Mitchell. Houston Texans get Terrion Arnold. Dallas Cowboys, Amarius Mims. Green Bay Packers, Jordan Morgan. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Kamari Lassiter. Or Arizona Cardinals, J.C. Latham. Buffalo Bills, Jerzan Newton. Detroit Lions, A.D. Mitchell. Baltimore Ravens, Darius Robinson. San Francisco 49ers, Kingsley Suamataya. And then Kansas City Chiefs, Troy Fatanu. One thing that I did a quick count on here, Tony. 10 offensive linemen in the first round, which is a huge number, 8 of which are offensive tackles, assuming you're going to qualify Fatanu as a guard.
But I have him as a left tackle. I haven't replaced him at left tackle. So really the only, if we look at it, Jackson Powers-Johnson is really the only guy I think that is drafted specifically being interior offensive lineman. The other guys I think are being drafted to be tackles, left tackles or right tackles. And what have we said all along? This is going to be a strong tackle class. And, you know, it's indicative of what we just mocked, but there's still a lot of good talent at that position in day two. So if you're a team that won an offensive tackle in round one, you didn't get it. You should be able to get a good player in day two of the draft at that position.
I got to be honest with you, Tony. Usually around 18 or 19, I start struggling here with guys that I would feel comfortable picking in the first round. This year, I'm getting to like 24-ish or so, and I'm still feeling pretty good about it. This is, I think, if you're picking mid-first round, you're getting a pretty darn good first-round player here.
You know, it's funny you say that because when I look at my board right now, I have 24 guys with first-round grades on them.
There you go.
24 guys that are solid first-round grades. After that, I got another 24. I got another half dozen guys that are first or second-round grades. So, you know, I think the first round, granted, it's going to be driven by the quarterbacks early on, but you got Marvin Harrison. You got some good offensive tackles. You got some good cornerbacks starting in the middle part of round one. Really, the only area that it's really lacking is safety and defensive tackle.
There's and linebacker. Linebacker.
Linebacker as well. Yeah, but, you know, the linebacker is Dallas Turner. He's an edge rusher. But, yeah, Dallas Turner is also a linebacker. You know, the two of UCLA, yeah, he's an edge rusher, but you can also use him in space. So, I agree. You know, your traditional Curtis Jacobs type of weak side linebackers, we don't see too many of those guys going the first round anymore, unfortunately, but even though they're needed. But yeah, I've got 24 guys with first round grades, definite first round grades on my board.
And we got 20 offensive players and 12 defensive players. So you're looking at nearly
two thirds
of the guys selected being on the offensive side of the ball.
And that was the makeup after the fact that 90% of the top 10 were offensive players.
Yeah, it is. You're right. So should be fun, Tony. This was great. We'll do our combine preview. We're going to record it a little bit later this week, and then it's going to air next, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday before they start working out at the combine. So make sure you guys tune in for that as we talk about who the key players are to watch the combine, whose numbers really going to matter. That'll determine their draft position. Tony, this was fun as always, my friend. Good talking to you.
Absolutely. Look forward to Indianapolis.
Today's episode was brought to you by Visa. Visa looks at over 500 data points on transactions to help prevent fraud, so you can worry less and focus on your next podcast. Shop with Visa because security looks good on you. And hopefully draft season or next week we'll be at the Combine, folks. We'll also have a ton of draft spots on Big Blue Kickoff Live and the Giants Huddle podcast. Check those out, too, if you want great draft content from Indy at the Combine next week. For Tony Pauline, I'm John Schmuck. We'll see you next time on draft season.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.